So according to Marilyn Monroe, diamonds are a girl's best friend. But what does your jewellery really say about you? Like if it could talk, that charm bracelet you always wear, that Catholic cross around your neck, or those favourite pair of diamond earrings your mother gave you. What are the messages, the advice, or the warnings it would share? Yes, it sounds a little crazy, but let's be honest, that's kind of my thing. But I've had things told to me by a stranger that not even my best friends would know about me. All because she's held an important piece of jewellery of mine, something I've had on my body for a period of time. And I strongly believe that there's something that we don't know about energy. There's something about this invisible field that contains as much unique information about us as a thumbprint. And we know no two thumbprints are the same on anyone. And nobody has lived exactly the same life as you have. And no one's heading into the future, your future, in precisely the same way as you are, from the next minute to the next day and right up until you leave this planet. So if this thing called energy can be absorbed by a mineral that originally came from the Earth, then maybe, bizarrely, it could become kind of like a fossil of your life.
Hi, I'm Jenny Putner. I'm an intuitive reader.
What I'm really interested in, and what makes you, I think, quite different to a lot of readers out there, whether they're medium, psychic readers, what have you, is the psychometry element of what you do. Mm-hmm. So, from your words, what is psychometry? Because a lot of people don't know.
Okay. It's picking up often a piece of jewellery, picking up an item and reading the energy of that. So if you have a ring, a favourite ring, often I'll use that to start a reading. And you usually get the most recent events as well.
Okay, interesting.
So when people come for a reading, I always say beforehand, make sure it's your own jewellery. We don't want to pick up old, if you're wearing secondhand vintage jewellery, don't want to read that. Their energy, we want your energy.
So if someone comes to you for and they want a reading, mm-hmm. and they've just bought some, you know, maybe they've had it 6 months or something, but some beautiful old, mm-hmm. you know, ring that they found at an antique shop that's been there for years and obviously been in someone else's mm-hmm. world for maybe 100 years, that's going to confuse the reading.
It will confuse the reading, and that piece of jewellery could have had 2 or 3 owners.
Yeah.
So you could pick up different energies and times.
Yes.
The other thing is, it's a great, if you're really stuck and wanting to make a decision, or you've had some sort of shock or anxiety or drama, picking up a piece of jewellery, if you can calm yourself, you can pick up some answers from it yourself.
Really?
Does that make sense?
No.
Or say you had a big decision to make. Say you're offered 2 jobs and you're really unsure, you have to decide, say, by tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
By picking up the jewellery, I would be able to say, I'd actually go forward and be able to hopefully see what you would choose and also the best outcome. Which
so you'd be able to
read from that to say this is where
I think she wants to go.
And also some best options. I would say, okay, if you take job A, this is what you're heading into, and maybe I'd pick up a few personalities that you'd meet in that job or a few challenges in that job and do that for position B as well. So,
and is that based on like what do you get when you're doing a reading mm-hmm. and you've got a piece of jewellery in your mm-hmm. hand? What are you seeing? Like, how are you getting this stuff?
So, if I picked up your piece of your jewellery now, often when I first pick it up, I will get visions in colour, usually a sense, so a strong feeling. Sometimes I'll get words. Almost, it feels like they flash across my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll hear words as well. So it can be a combination.
Okay,
different people that read jewellery may use one sense more than others, but that is what works.
Well, that's also what I mean. I've had a few readings in my time. I met a lot of different type of readers, and everyone has their own unique thing. Whether it's, you know, I heard a voice, like I always say, we've all heard voices in our head, haven't we? And then think blank faces. Actually, no, we haven't all had it.
Don't worry.
I spend a lot of time with voices in my head. So I understand that the voices, I understand, you know, when you said, you know, like a message comes across your, and you direct it across your eye, I get literally, I'm not saying I'm suddenly, you know, now in your game,
no.
but I have bits and, you know, I have lots Everybody of psychic, does. Yes, I have yeah. lots of psychic stuff that's come to me over my life. And sometimes what happens to me is I literally get what looks like a post-it note flash before my eyes, and it's got, it's got literally something written on it.
There you go.
So I remember a period going completely off tangent, here we'll get back on, but I remember I'd started doing a lot of work on myself, and I think I was working through some stuff. And then obviously something else needed to come through. And it was almost like I wasn't thinking about, oh, now what next do I need to work at, or, you know, what's going wrong now, or how am I feeling? But this post-it note kind of floated past my, what felt like my eyes, you know, in my head, and it said humiliation. And I literally went, oh, what's that? What's that? I had no clues.
Mm.
No clues. It was the starting block to another layer that I needed to work through energetically, and wow, did I uncover a lot of interesting stuff. Anyway, so going back, so okay, so you get kind of different things. How did you hear about psychometry? Like, how did you get into your game? Because I've known you a while, and I still don't remember how you started with all of this.
So my background was in nursing, and I was a midwife as well, working in Sydney, and walked past a bookshop in Bondi, and it was advertising learning to read tarot cards, and I wanted to do something new. Tried it, and it came easily. Every week they'd say do your homework, and I would usually be I would do my studies well at, say, at uni, but for this I would do it madly about 2 minutes before class, and it would come out so easily. So the words came out. I could read the cards even though I was still learning the meaning of the cards.
You were kind of a natural.
It came through that way.
At what they were asking you.
And then one day I was in a Chinese restaurant with a group of people. They didn't know I was doing readings at that point. And we had little Chinese tea with the tea leaves in there. And I picked it up they were talking about a situation. I said, give me your teacup. And I just went A, B, C, D, and I didn't know these people well, and it was spot on. So I think the tea leaf reading came before the psychometry, and then I'd read about psychometry and just started. And then I was doing workshops, and I would say, okay, let's try a new technique, and it just came from there.
Fascinating. So
I think it's just a matter of just a tool.
Do you remember, you've obviously been doing, how long have you been doing
probably
reading?
Probably nearly 30 years now.
30 years?
I think so.
Oh, sorry, I should have timed that down a bit. Wow!
But it's always coincided because I still work as a nurse.
Keep you looking young, whatever.
I still work as a nurse.
It's Green Street juices.
It does. I did a degree in psychology and welfare as well. So I feel like I've always had two streams going.
Yes.
So I've done the nursing counselling side, and then I've done this and Reiki and a lot of the healing arts. So,
well, all of that is healing.
It is all healing.
Yeah.
And it's just sometimes I feel like I'm more mainstream. At the moment, I'm half mainstream and half this, which has become much more mainstream now anyway.
I know. It's amazing. When I first met you, I mean, literally I was working at SAFM and Dale Lewis, who's now on Triple M in South Australia, he suggested, of all, he almost did it on such a kind of like cloak and dagger, like, I've got something to tell you.
Mm.
You know, do you want to, you know, I think his wife Anne, she said, you know, he's got, sees this amazing woman and she does numerology, and I don't even think that he mentioned the psychometry. But yes, those boys on that show used to give me shit all the time because, you know, I'd be off to the healing centre and I'd be doing all these interesting things and I'd be, you know, having energetic healings or readings or whatever it was. And they very playfully, you know, used to take the piss out of me and I'm still in it.
I'm still in it.
And I've now got a podcast show about it.
Which is amazing.
It is. Oh, my God. I can't even begin to tell you how grateful I am. So I've known you for... Oh my God, I reckon nearly 10 years.
It's got to be 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's incredible how we've aged so beautifully. So, what I was going to say is because I remember obviously my first experience with you, but I wonder, have you had readings over, 30 years is a long time. Do you ever have readings that were really intense where you really got quite a bit of a story or a real image, or it was really kind of mind blowing, that stay with you, or do they usually pass through?
No, I see a lot of people now, so when people come back, I may not have seen them for 2 or 3 years. I may not remember their name, but as soon as they sit down and we start reading, their story comes back.
Wow.
I do, one lady...
Like you're opening their little book, their
library. It's like we're back and here we go again, like in a nice way.
Because a lot of readers don't get that.
No, well, it does. They sit down and they'll say, oh my God, do you remember that?
Yeah.
But it must be stored in there. A long time when we lived in Queensland, a lady came to see me and she was maybe in her early 40s, had had a stroke. But what got me from this reading was that her partner had set her alight and she was still living with him.
No.
And she had a son that I think was disabled, so the fear of leaving. And that reading always stayed with me because pain that she was in, and she, incredibly kind, spiritual lady, but she couldn't get out of that situation.
Too kind.
And I know that all spiritual lessons and all that, but that one always stayed with me.
Wow. Oh God, that that made me feel
so sorry.
Weird.
But
that answers it. Yeah.
Another lady came again in Queensland. I didn't know this, but she only came a few days later. Her husband was a truck driver. He died, maybe if that was a Saturday, she came the following week. And I wouldn't now see people in such early stage of grief.
That's a lot of grief.
It was. And she came in, she sat down. I don't think I'd ever had a reading before. And I said, it just came out. I said, oh, but who's this man you've brought in with me? He's got his check shirt on. I've got his boots and his jeans. And then she burst out crying because that's exactly what he had on when he passed.
Wow.
And that was kind of his uniform. Oh, I had no background. I didn't have a surname. I didn't have anything. So that one stayed with me as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So there are significant, like if I kept thinking about it.
And there are also big stories.
Big stories.
Big stories, yeah. Which have probably shocked you, the human side
time,
of you, as you're sitting there going, whew, wow,
but,
okay.
I learn from every reading, there's a lesson for every reading I do for me as well. There's always something I get out of it.
That's really, that's fascinating that you say that, because I do believe I do believe with most people that are in certain industries, but often healers and good healers because they're honest and they're not being, I'm your guru, I'm above any issues.
Yep.
That's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think that is really something that does happen is that something comes for you as
absolutely,
well.
There's always. And the other side of that is some people, when you say guru and things like that, some people, I've always stepped away from that. They'll say, I'm desperate, I have to see you.
Mm.
Sometimes people
they want you to be their guru.
They do. And it's
save me.
Yes. Other times people have booked in and I've had to cancel. Like I'd wake up that day and go, I can't do the reading. It's not right for me to do it.
Really?
I need to cancel. And it's not a personal thing.
No.
And over the years people have gotten so upset with me, so offended that...
Because they're like, there's a lot of neediness and they're gagging for you. And they're like, I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
This is what I need.
Yeah.
But there's that word need.
Need. And I know it would be wrong. Like I know that I wouldn't give the right messages, or it just my whole being says don't.
So
do
you
it.
Think? I mean, because this is the other thing too. That a lot of people, when I start talking about my interest in spiritual mystical kind of world, people, and especially readings, and because I do a lot of readings for myself, oracle readings, but I'll do oracle readings for other people, and a bit of tarot. But a lot of people that don't understand how I think this space works, this divine space, wherever and however it works, is that you really are only given information that is going to be useful as a guide or a healing situation for another person.
That's it.
So what people often worry about is, oh, God, am I going to be told that, my husband's going to be dead in a week, or I'm going to be hit by a bus the minute I leave here? And I say, no, because nothing really, there's nothing helpful about that. That's going to put you in full-blown fear.
Mm.
But I also don't believe I'm at odds with people, with readers and healers that just chuck out that information, because I'm like, I feel like you're trying to perform.
Mm.
You're trying to make this entertaining, and you're potentially also wanting to create the channel of need with between you and this person.
Yeah.
So they have to come back. Mm. It's like, it's literally like you're binge watching your favorite, you know, I've been binge watching Transparent lately, this wonderful series on Stan. But it's like, of course, everything hangs, they leave it hanging, so you want to go back. I feel like that's what they're doing.
I do. And I've had readings.
That's so unethical. It is. God.
And to walk out of a reading, I've walked out of readings in fear, and I'm going, none of it rang true. And so I always say, you said the right word, it's a guide.
Yeah.
And I always say to people, trust your own intuition above all else, because that is a great, of course, that's the best guide. And some people will come, and at the end of the reading they'll say to me, well, you've just confirmed everything I thought, so you haven't really told me anything. And I will say, yes, but I only met you an hour ago.
Yeah.
I've just told you things that how would I know? And I go...
That's right. They forget that.
They forget that. And I'll go, thank you.
So they start to dilute what you've done. It's like, no, I'm not here to perform, and you actually did just come here knowing all the answers, and actually what you just paid me for is to confirm them.
That's it. So, which is great. Like, they're actually the better readings because they've sorted... It may help them sort things out better.
Yeah.
They're on the right track.
Yep.
So that's a really interesting one. But some people go, oh, I wanted more. I wanted the bells and whistles. I can't give the bells and whistles. So it's a really interesting...
Go and read a book. Go to the movies. Yeah.
So that the perception of what they're going to get is really important. That's why I try to say to people when you come, try and not... I try and say, bring your clear questions, which would be fantastic. Yeah. You don't have to tell me your questions at the end of the session. Let's go through them and see if they've been answered. That's actually a better way because then you're in charge of it as well.
So when you're waking up and you're literally getting to the point where you're like, oh, this reading today, I can't do, I can't be there for... Do you think that is because you can feel that wall of neediness, that it's actually going to be a waste of both of your time? Or is there literally space that person needs to have? Because maybe something bad is going to happen. Maybe the impending doom they are kind of feeling or something, and they maybe even have to sit with that. And maybe in that instance... You know, the divine source, whatever we're all connected to, but you know, whoever's your boss, is basically saying, "There's no place for you in this."
That's right.
We don't have anything for you.
I think it's all the above, and that's why I've had to learn to trust it. And honestly,
such
people,
integrity that you show.
But people still, a couple of people in Adelaide probably, if they heard my name, would spit on it, like they would spit on the ground because they're so upset that. And they take it. They go, "She won't read. What's wrong with me?" And I go,
"Take it as a personal.
It's not slash. Truly. It's not. And I've had to stick to that.
Yeah.
And it's never about money. Like it's.
No.
I would rather. Like it's never about money.
But that's but it is for other people because they're for other people their human side
of course
is potentially about I need money
and
so
I still charge
do this.
And I still charge of course I do but it's never that's not the bottom line ever
but you can't charge if you didn't give them a reading.
Never.
I can't actually do that reading, but I will take it.
Yeah, we'll charge you because you're not going to turn
because
up.
Because you're in my diary.
And you're in my diary, and, you know, I'm pretty busy. I'm a pretty important person.
No wonder they're spitting on your name, Jenny. That doesn't work, no.
I do remember a long time ago in Sydney, a tax lawyer, I didn't know it at the time, lawyer came to see me. She'd taken all her jewellery off, no makeup. Very wealthy woman,
She
did it on purpose. I didn't know her background before she came. Wore black, and she sat down, and she just sat and did this with her fingernails, and she said,
"Tapping
right,
on
go."
The desk.
She said, "Go."
Oh wow!
So
perform, seal.
And after the first 10 minutes, she said, "You're not making any sense, right?"
She was going to say that before she even arrived.
She was
testing you.
So I went another 5 minutes and she said, again, you're not making any sense. I said, then let's stop. No, we'll try it a little bit longer. I said, no, we're not going to try longer.
No, you've behaved really badly here.
So she got up to leave and she said, well, here's your money. And I said, I don't want your money. And she said, no, you have to take my money. I said, there's no way I want any of your money, please.
This is how controlling she is. She's like, no, I'll end yes. I'll end this the way I'm going to end this, and that's that I wasn't a bitch because I gave her the money.
That's right.
I just asked, I just heckled her, and I gave her the money, and you're like, no, and she's gone out wonky.
So then about a week later, I get a call from her, and she said, Jenny, I'm not sure if you remember me, and I thought, well, I'll never forget you.
Yeah, you know what? You're actually,
So then she
embedded
said,
in my head.
I'm still talking about it. And she said, some of those things you were trying to tell me about may have happened within sort of the next 24 hours, so I'd like you to tell me more. And I said, no, I'll never,
No, work it out yourself.
Yeah. And she did say to a lady that sent her that she, it was a setup. It was to test me. It was just...
Disgusting.
So it was really, it was good learning for me.
And you know what? It also goes into your integrity because a lot of people would have actually seen her to make their ego feel to teach, to sort of have the final word in that, well, yeah, you were wrong, weren't you? That would feel very empowering for them. But that is also an ego thing. You know, the lesson she needed to learn was you've behaved badly. And you don't get the service.
You don't get the service. But, you know, for a while there, I thought, maybe I should stop doing this. Like, that's what it did for me. So that was my learning.
Yeah.
So I had to keep going, no, she was one out of however many. Other people I felt good after the reading. I feel like I can... I don't make people's worlds better, but I can. I'm a channel. That's all I am.
Yeah,
that's pure and simple. And that's what I am.
And that's also a really human thing because I was having a conversation last night with a girlfriend, and she's been sort of working in the meditation and mindfulness arena for only a little while. She's been studying for quite some time, but suddenly all of these things are coming to her, and it's wonderful because she really is brilliant. She's really on purpose, but. She's being asked to speak in front of a couple of hundred people, which she did for the first time on the weekend, and it was a music crowd, and so it's not the normal kind of health and wellness crowd. And there were just a couple of points where she sort of she felt like she didn't do a great job, and you know she went away after that, like fully going into beating herself up mode. And then she ends up getting an email from the people that were running the thing saying, you know, you were so amazing, blah, blah, blah. But we all deal with that self-doubt. And some days we're just a little more weak. Or, as you said, or maybe we need those opportunities. Maybe she was the gift that you got out of that was that she came and through her hideous behaviour actually ended up challenging you because it was a little bit kind of like someone coming in and getting you with a bow and arrow, but then that forced you to fight back within yourself.
It did. So that was the positive of it.
Well, speaking of having positive affirmations about what you do, firstly, I'm wearing this ring.
I remember this ring.
This,
So
this ring, I'll just describe it. It's silver, but with a beautiful green sort of aquamarine center stone. It's not an aquamarine. I can tell you that now. But I bought that for myself when I was probably 19 or so, and I pulled that out 2 years ago, the last time I saw you or whatever. I wanted to give it to you, and again, sometimes I feel like, you know, it's the testing, but it's not the testing. The reason why I did that was because at that time I was really, you know, as I have done plenty of times, but not every day, that's for sure, I was thinking about myself and love, and I was thinking about the girl that I used to be before I created a lot of chaos and invited a lot of chaos into my life, so therefore my love wounds and stuff then end up pretty bad. But at 19, apart from really just daddy issues, I certainly hadn't had my heart broken. I'd had two boyfriends that I'd broken up with, and they were pretty big relationships, but you know, I was still in the control seat. And I was sort of interested in what you had to say about that. And you picked up that ring and you basically said, which had also been on my mind, that actually what I wanted was an old-fashioned man with old-fashioned values. And again, you know, I could have said to you, oh, well, you haven't told me anything I didn't know, because I'd already had that clue. But that was a whopping confirmation of the energy that ring gave and what was already on my mind.
Yeah.
I had the answers. I just wanted to know. I got tough at 19. Mm. You know, I got tougher than I ever wanted to be. Mm. And it makes me want to, making me quite emotional. You know, I was such a sweet kid, but I got angrier. My personality type got angrier because I didn't have my dad around when I was younger, and I really started to form a lot of, you know, I had a lot of trust issues, and I started really closing off my heart because I really felt my first big entry point to love had been not satisfactory and quite sort of a little bit of a broken heart. But if that hadn't happened, I would have been so much clearer about, you know, I always wanted someone like my grandfather was described as being. A beautiful gentleman. I never met him, but I heard so much about him. Beautiful gentleman that adored, you know, my nana, and was funny, but was kind, and just had really beautiful values. And I think that was what I actually had always grown up, because I'd grown up hearing about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, my space was sort of living in the world of you know, also hearing stories about my mum and my dad and how that happened and all the yucky stuff. Anyway, so that was really interesting. But I also quite significantly, I'll never forget this, because the first reading that I had after I said that, my co-host at the time said to come and see you, and there was a couple of incredible things that stuck with me. And so I remember it so vividly, being in your beautiful house and your beautiful, that sort of study reading room that you had. And there were things that came out, and I'm actually not 100% sure what I gave you in terms of the jewellery to read from. I think I know, but I'm not 100% sure. But what you started saying was stuff that you were saying, basically saying my grandmother, Harriet Harper. Oh, you just got a little shake. Mm. You said that she was there, and you said there was big and little things that you said. One of the little things, it's not little because it was exactly what she would say, but you started with something saying, well, firstly, she just wants to say that she wishes you'd stop swearing in the studio, in the radio studio. And I was like, I think I went bright red, because, of course, I was mouthing off like a trooper once the microphones were off. Mm. Well, we're all vile. Yeah. I mean, the things that we were saying to each other when those microphones were off doing breakfast radio was just appalling. And it doesn't take much to make me fire up a little bit on the swearing front, which is obviously not very elegant. So there was that. You also warned me at the time about being careful in my car.
Mm.
And at the time I felt, yes, at the time I sort of, I took that on board. But, of course, you know, that can be, you know, oh, that's a bit boring. Okay, well, can I have something else? But actually, that was extraordinarily significant, because at that time I had finally broken up out of a very, very dangerous relationship that got violent. Mm. And I should never have taken him to South Australia when I had this opportunity to do radio, but I just wasn't ready to finish punishing myself, and I wasn't willing to admit that once again I'd failed at love, you know, because I was now into torture zone.
You learnt at love. You didn't fail at love.
Yeah. Yes. So, and what was happening was that, and this is all in this book that I'm writing that I'm now calling Lost Magic. But, I mean, really on my own time, I was super dark in my head and kind of crazy. And I was often driving around completely distracted, probably text messaging him or having abusive phone calls back and forth with him, or driving past, he's the psychopath, or driving past where I thought he was living temporarily, trying to see what he's up to. I was in, you know, I was in Columbo, detective mode slash completely psychopathic idiot ex-girlfriend. And I'm also got Natalie Imbruglia cranked up, Shiver, the song Shiver. You know, dun, dun, dun. I've got that cranked up. I'm crying. I'm probably fixing my makeup. I mean, I was busy. And consequently, I'm also driving during all of this. How the angels via you completely stopped me from having a car accident. Because how I didn't, I don't know. So that was pretty monumental. And of course, you know, that was just something that I realized later. But the big one after we'd had this conversation and actually I think largely my Nana was there to support the fact that this was legit. I think the main thing was probably stopping me from her having a car accident. So that was the sort of part that I, of course, I thought was least interesting. But the confirmation at the end of the reading on that day was so powerful that it's almost like these bookends of framing that experience that I'll never ever forget. Because you said to me, that she was standing behind me, and that's when you the swearing and you actually also said that my Nana said, I've never had any idea of the impact or the reaction I have from men or the power I have over them, or there was something along those lines. And of course, at that time, I'm like, yeah, no, you're right, because I'm swimming with the sharks at the moment. Like I'm not using any of my good girl power. That I switched that shit off a long time ago. But you then said to me at the end of the reading, you said, oh, by the way, so your Nana just wants to say me to say a name to you before we finish. And I said, yes. And you said, oh, I don't, you know, obviously it doesn't make any sense to me, but she's asking me to say John Farnham. And I went, oh, my God. Again, that makes me feel really emotional. Because it also takes me back to a very bad place in my life. And to think that she was there, you know, when I felt so alone, to know that I actually wasn't alone at that time was really, really big. And so the John Farnham reference was when I was little and I used to be at her house. Thank you, little tissue. Apparently, I don't remember it specifically. I just remember us always talking about it after. But apparently, when I was little, like probably three or something, I saw John Farnham on the television, probably in black and white. And I pointed apparently at the television and said, "You know, my boyfriend," or something like. I basically said, "I love this guy." Like I was obsessed, or I was standing right. So forevermore through my whole. You know, life with my Nana, who's now gone, and she'd been gone probably 5 or 6 years by that point when I had the reading. She would always say, John Farnham, oh, your boyfriend. Oh, your boyfriend, John Farnham. And I would laugh, especially as I got older, thinking, it's not really, but I guess that's always been our thing.
Yeah. Now, whenever I hear John Farnham, I think of you. So on the weekend...
Because he's my boyfriend.
Yeah, sure. So on the
Amber's going out with him.
Yeah. So on the weekend I heard John Farnham, think of Amber, and I didn't know that we're catching up today because you then text on Monday.
Really?
So it was just like, okay, Amber must be around. Like I knew we'd talked, we hadn't set today's
Our
time.
Our energies
weekend.
Were getting closer.
So it was like, oh, Amber, okay.
That's friggin' crazy.
So that's your Nana.
So two things I need to cover. One is I went out with, so I told you about one bad boyfriend. There was another one, and he was before, and he was actually worse. Psychologically worse than this other guy, which sounds crazy considering I said the other one got violent. And when I first met him within a week, and he was actually married at the time, right? So, but... He basically, in his first big sell to me, was, I'm married, I've got two young kids, we're splitting, the wife and I are, you know, we're on good terms. You know, he painted this picture. And I very stupidly, because I was really rock bottom, decided that I was going to kind of go with that and say, okay, well, I guess life's not always black and white, because I'd always made it black and white and gone, you don't go with anybody that's even vaguely, you know, been engaged. I mean, I was so over the top in my approach because I never wanted to end up part of something that I had lived painfully as a child, not having my dad around.
Yeah.
But I was rock bottom and I was now looking for an excuse to find a reason to go, okay, this person's showing me intense interest. He's saying all the right things about no one's going to get hurt in this and all of this sort of stuff. So very quickly, he, within about a week, I think, he bought me this beautiful Jan Logan bracelet. And I literally remember seeing out of the corner of my eyes, the bracelet literally burst off my arm.
That was another clue.
Burst off my arm.
Mm-hmm.
He then, and I remember at the time going, whoa, why that didn't just break, you know, like things break.
Mm-hmm.
That friggin' burst. I saw it. It went all over this hotel lobby where I was. He bought another one. It broke again. Oh. Okay, yep. Okay, you can put that down to this is a bad batch. He also bought me, and again, at 100 miles an hour, he's like, you know, I'm talking about marriage. I'm like, you're not even out of one yet. And this is not really going that great. And I'm getting bad vibes from her. And I'm getting actually slagged off in the press here because I'm looking like I've just come in and put a bomb in your world. And now I'm, you know, smug, and which wasn't the case at all. I was just low self-esteem dickhead. And anyway, so he insisted that in the interim of, you know, because narcissists can't, they have to go at 100 miles an hour or they lose interest. In the interim of getting his shit sorted out, him asking my dad for my hand in marriage, maybe at some point actually checking in with me to find out whether I wanted to marry him, because I never did. But he decided to buy me this commitment ring, and it was a sapphire and diamond, two big diamonds either side and then the sapphire in the middle. And we went out for dinner one night, and the minute I sat down, I looked at my hand and there was no sapphire in it.
That had gone too.
And I went, oh, my God. And I knew again it was a sign, and my low self-esteem told me, I knew it was a bad sign, but then my low self-esteem, the ego, jumped in and said, oh, maybe it's just that you guys are, you know, you know, we're off track a little bit because we've been arguing a lot, because I didn't trust him. Because like I knew he was a dog, like the highest dog of all time, and I said, you know, maybe it's just that we've got lost or something like that. Anyway, I then said to him, the sapphire's gone, and of course he's freaking out, and we walked through a really dark car park, and I thought, okay, do we retrace our steps? This is not going to be as simple as just walking through a lit restaurant. We've come through some darkness, and that's going to be really hard to find it. And then I was still staring at it and just listening to him crap on. And I just went from the ring where the hole, the space was, to about a metre and a half away in one jump, not kind of like scan across, one jump. And there was the blue sapphire sitting next to the chair leg of the couple sitting next to me. Interesting, again, they were probably really, really happy. And I looked and I went, oh, my God. And I went, there it is. And he's, you know, oh, thank Christ. And I just remember again just going, that means something. And then again my stupid ego voice jumped in and just said, maybe this means that you've lost each other, but you're meant to find each other again.
Yep.
There you go. Yep. Stayed in that relationship for another couple of months. But it was... So what is that that's so energetically powerful that it's doing that?
Well, that's... And a practical thing, losing jewellery, losing diamonds, you're losing value. It's your loss of value.
Oh, God. I had zero value.
You did.
See, I couldn't have had...
Which is amazing.
Less value.
Which is
on
absolutely amazing.
That's crazy as a concept.
Yeah. The other side of it is, what did you get out of, apart from all the usual stuff, there was a win in here for you. What was the win?
Well, it was the biggest win of all time, so you're absolutely right. Mm. The biggest win, and which is, again, why I've called my book Lost Magic, and what the whole book is about, is what I eventually, not right in that moment, but what I eventually, me now, who I am now, I know that I have the most unbelievable intuition, because it blasted literally through me during those dark times. That when I look back, it was like, oh my God, my intuition was spot on about. I was never a dickhead.
Mm.
The only dickhead move was staying in it.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I was never a dickhead. I never fell for his lies. I never actually fell for his lies.
Yeah.
I never actually fell for the other one. I didn't fall for anybody. I didn't fall for anyone. I wasn't actually the loser victim in any of it.
Mm.
But I wasn't ready to... I would answer back to my power. So now I look back and I go, oh my... I never question my intuition anymore.
There you go.
Literally, if I see someone across the room and I have a bad feeling about them, that person's on notice in my head. That's not me. Like I'm on high alert with that person. And if that person then becomes in any way part of the group or someone that I know, or if I know well enough, I will absolutely just say, you need to be careful of that person, because that power, that magic that I have, that you have, that everybody else has, it was dying to get through to me at that point.
Mm. Yep, absolutely. So that's amazing sight now.
Yeah.
You've had those lessons to get that big lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and huge. And, you know, I wouldn't have got those big lessons if I hadn't have got those big effing assholes.
The other side for them... For them,
oh yeah,
they needed. Totally. And there's another viewpoint: is that they actually needed to be, they need to be with someone with you that had the light.
Mm. But certainly, that's what they were absorbing. He was vampiring the bejesus out of me.
So you provided that for them. Later in life, those people may reflect and go, "I've actually got it myself and can get it back," or they may not this lifetime. But you that was part of your purpose almost to be around them.
To be part of their journey.
Yes, but then you also, now you can do that without being damaged. You can provide the light for anybody without...
That's
without
right, the damage does... Self. No, that's right. And I am just in a completely different place. I still struggle a lot, but that's only with my own stuff.
Yeah.
It's not with external...
Yeah.
Obviously the situations, but no, people don't get to come in and trash my... space anymore. So just very finally, just in a quick not like a full blown one, but there's a reason why I want to hand you this charm bracelet, which is, I don't know how many charms there'd be on there, probably there's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot, and they were all chosen, you know, with quite a bit of thought, but I just wondered what I don't wear it, so it is from a time.
And the first two practical things was the car again. I just saw you drive in, but it was, are there things in your car that you need to take out?
Yeah,
it's more just clear the car out. That's all.
You're talking about my car now.
Your current car.
Oh, okay.
Is that the one you're driving today?
Yes,
that's yours. And also just check the air in one of the back. I'm not sure how long since you've checked the air in the tyres.
No idea.
Just check.
How long have I had the car? 8 years. Sorry, no, I've had it serviced, so they would have done that.
They would have done
it. But yeah, there's a shitload in my car.
Yeah, just clear your car out.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it has to come inside or whatever. And I'm actually, the tyre I'm drawn to is the driver's side. At the back.
Okay.
And the next one was an overseas trip to go and see good friends. Are you planning one for later in the year or next year?
I am seeing some overseas friends in December, but I am, I think, planning a big trip in May next year.
That'd be great. Beautiful. Because that's what popped in as well.
lots of, I just see you doing a lot of reading as well, but physical reading, there's a huge stack of really good books, like that next level of learning for you coming.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Practical thing, I know you said you're back at Pilates, but mid-back.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's been sore lately, but just...
Yeah. Yeah, well, I have had, yes, I've been to the osteo a lot lately.
Good. Your mum, any chest... Breast, no, it's not breast, chest or heart. Does she get heart palpitations?
Yeah, she gets, she's got not a hole in her heart, but one of the valves.
Okay. She doesn't have a pacemaker yet?
No. No, but she's very, very, very stressed and unhappy at the moment.
Yeah.
A lot of grief.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll support her as best you can.
Mm.
But it almost feels like professionals now need to support her as well.
I'm trying to kind of protect myself from it. Yeah. Precisely what I'm doing. I'm saying, we've talked about this. You need to go to this person for that, this person for
and
that.
And that's what it will be.
And then I need to disconnect and either she's going to do that or not, because I get very distressed if I can't fix someone.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was just, you know,
and it's her turn now to fix.
Yeah,
she can get the right people by you just stepping to the side. You're not disengaging. She can. She will not let herself. She will force herself. She wants the help, but then she blocks it.
Yeah, she does. She does. She gets fear. The wall of fear comes up.
Yeah.
That. Were you going to say something else?
No, that was your brother, but we can go where you're going.
Oh, yes, yes. There's lots of big stuff with my family that I'm trying to work through and not trying to be addicted to trying to fix things. What I just wanted to ask you and see what comes into your head, but the time when I was wearing that and when that charm bracelet meant a lot to me, I'm just wondering if anything comes up about sort of where I was at.
Is there a question? I kept thinking Mr. Canada for a second as well.
Oh, my God, no!
For some reason, he popped in. Or that time popped in.
Well, that's exactly when that is from.
Right, okay.
Well, Mr. Canada, there was a very interesting, again, he is in my book, a very, very, very bizarre way that I met this Canadian radio guy.
Yeah.
And it was, it's through, some catfishing that went on with our radio station at the time. It's a massive story and it is in this book.
Right.
But I came to you because before I realised that he was real and I'd been dealing with someone that was using his profile, I said to you, does this guy exist? And you actually said, I do think he does. In fact, I think he's like a Ryan Seacrest. Mm. So I actually think he probably is in radio. And I think he's doing very well. And you said all these things. And I was also sure at the time, I thought, I reckon there's something in this. Mm. I'm going to find this guy. And I did. And he was real and he was a radio guy and he was single and I ended up having a relationship with him.
I remember.
Oh, can you believe
it? So when you first gave it to me...
So you're right. I'm like not trying to trick you, but that was... that.
So
I collected all of those charms at the time, during the time when I was at SAFM, super lonely, in the middle of post that relationship, but now in this crazy, weird sort of catfish chapter of my life.
So when you first passed it to me, I had the words. So from this side, it's like the car and the trip came in. But the vision was the snow, Mr. Canada.
Which is where I went. I went and joined him in the snow.
And so I was like, and I had to almost filter which do I go? Do I go practical? Because the words I think I said, the practical things first.
Yes, yes.
And I had to wait to get to Mr. Canada.
So that's still relevant to my car because I'm always trying to do too many things. So I promise I will clear that car out because that's a now.
Yeah.
But also I have a feeling there's every chance when I came and saw you, but I can't confirm that I brought this charm bracelet.
Well, I did wonder. Yeah, so because it feels very familiar.
Yeah, I just think that there weren't as many charms on it at the time.
Mm.
Oh, my God, how fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Jenny. You're so amazing at what you do. I really... yes, where can people get hold of you? People that might be now going, oh, my God.
So now, because I don't do social media,
No, you don't have to believe it.
So, really, people just...
Phone number?
0409-737-119. People just text or phone.
Yeah, and people can, if they didn't get that, they can always contact me on Facebook at the Wise Guides Facebook site or just Amber Petty. Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you so much, Amber.
Thank you so much.
Next week on The Wise Guys, I'll be catching up with Denise Jarvi, author of The Art of Love Tarot Deck and The Flower of Life Oracle Cards. She'll explain what she describes as separation sickness, which also might be the spiritual term for anxiety and depression.